This podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the U.S. and Europe. Today, you are listening to our AI in Action series, where leading minds in AI from across the world share their story, success, and advice. AI in Action cuts through the hype and explores the true impact of artificial intelligence in our world today.
You're listening to AI in Action. I'm your host, JP Valentine. Our guest today is Jim Rabesco. Jim is the co-founder and CEO at Striveworks. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, JP. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
It's our pleasure. And this is our first in-person podcast recording in quite some time.
Yeah, so it's a treat after a year and a half, right?
Yeah. It really is. Yeah, thank you for hosting. Jim, let's start with yourself. Can you give us a brief background of your journey in technology from where you got started to what led to the idea of forming Striveworks?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think probably like most people in this space, it's a pretty typical story. I grew up, I love science and math, went out to Caltech and started in physics. And this was my first encounter with the real world. So I learned very rapidly that I wasn't smart enough to be a physicist, which was a great data point for me. We're all about data here in the AI space. So that was my first one. I went and got my PhD in computational neuroscience. So learning about how large kind of neural structures in the brain communicated and transmitted information. From there, I thought my life and my career was going to take me into a research lab. And through kind of a variety of kind of funny circumstances and friends and network, one of my closest friends was telling me about a financial startup, a company in the trading space that he and some other people were getting involved with, a company by the name of Virtu Financial. And I didn't know what that was. I wasn't one of those kids growing up that had an E-Trade account and was trading stocks from the age of five. But I said, hey, you know what? It's a job search. My first time out into the real world behooves me to pick up as many experiences and, once again, data points as I possibly could. So I went out there and was just absolutely captivated by the energy, the passion, the drive of an early stage startup to build something. It's just as a team of just rock stars building something in a shared mission. And then that kind of culture and that kind of environment was just absolutely addictive to me. Got my degree, packed up all my stuff, moved out to New York, and was part of that team for the better part of about 8 years. Incredible experience. We were very blessed in what we did and what we accomplished. That company IPO'd, just phenomenal, great amount of fun. As a result of a lot of that work, the company, the people involved, I think, started to gain a little bit of like recognition for what we did. And we got involved in a number of conversations with folks who were very interested, and they wanted to know what's the secret sauce behind Virtu, behind the ability to trade and at the scale we did. And myself, coming from a data science background, the answer was always a little bit funny, almost, or underwhelming, in the sense that everybody thinks, hey, do you have a giant neural network in the back room that's able to predict how the stock market moves? And the answer was no, there's nothing of the sort like that. And really what we were super good at the time, something that really hadn't been labeled ML ops or machine learning ops, but that's really what we were describing. We were good at putting lots of, for a general definition of the word, lots of okay models into production, monitoring their performance and understanding when the world around those models changed and being able to iterate rapidly. And a lot of that experience, and a lot of people were like, wow, that's pretty interesting. And so out of that experience, we kind of thought, hey, there might be a little bit more an application for this sort of technology, this sort of application in a more general purpose sense. And that's really where Strive was born. And myself and my co-founders, we were very excited and passionate about this idea. At the end of the day, for us, it's AI and ML is going to be, and it continues, I should say, really to be this transformative technology, this transformative capability across a wide variety of industries and fields. But at the end of the day, if there is a but, the but is that we are always assuming that tomorrow when we use this model looks like yesterday, when we collected the data, when we trained the model. And that interestingly is true a lot of times, and it's true that allows us to make AI models be very useful in the world, but it's not true sometimes either. And the part of this kind of AI ML space that I'm really passionate about is that what do we do when tomorrow looks nothing like yesterday? And that's a question that I've been very interested in my whole career and kind of what brought me to here at Striveworks.
Yeah, I appreciate the background, and it definitely gives some insight into the mission behind Striveworks. So for anyone listening not familiar, tell us what the mission is, what you're doing here at Striveworks, and how you're bringing this ML ops to the masses.
Yeah, absolutely. For us, that problem statement is, I just alluded to, that's really the core of who we are and what we do. We want to make it easier for machine learning models to be trained and deployed. And what that means for us is a few things. One, speaking as a data scientist myself, there's a lot of capabilities that I would like to have in terms of how do I manage models? How do I manage training data? How do I assemble that into a model that's ready for production? And then even more poignantly for me as a data scientist, how do I not be asked to be an IT specialist, a networking specialist, a software engineer, an infrastructure engineer. And so providing that kind of full ecosystem that allows me as a data scientist to do more than just train a model and then hand a Jupyter notebook to a software engineer and say, good luck. That's like our core story. And why is that so important? Because, hey, you can say, hey, JP, you're a smart guy. You're a data scientist. You can get in there and you can learn Kubernetes. You can learn these technologies. And for our customers and for what we do, that kind of core nexus is we are always building models at the point of crisis.
I think it leads nicely into my next question is, talk to me about the journey for some of your customers. What are the most common problems that you're being asked to come in and solve? Because many organizations are throwing millions of dollars and tons of manpower behind this problem themselves internally. But yeah, unless you have the skill set internally and the expertise, it's hard to just organically grow. So give us some insight into what the typical customer journeys have been like.
Yeah, that's right. I'll start that out by making one point of connection. I think Andrew Ng has said this really well, that artificial intelligence is the world of the long tail of problems. You know, that my computer vision problem may look superficially very similar to yours, but if I need best in class performance and you need best in class performance, the easiest, fastest, cheapest way to get there is for me to use my own data on my own problem, in my own application and deployment environment. If you have a camera and I have a camera, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee that the same model is going to perform equally for both of us. Our customers, by and large, are folks who, first of all, come to us with very practical business problems. I have a lot of video data. I have a lot of free text or unstructured data. I have a lot of data coming in from my operations. I have business questions that I want to ask of that data. What is the best way to retain customers? What is happening in a security application? But it's dynamic. The questions they're asking are always changing. The way they want to interrogate their data and get insight, it's more of that kind of iterative learning, growing process along with their data, and it's not a static use case. So when I say static use case, a great example I like to think of is like the x-ray machines at the airport, right? There's probably huge potential for automation, and I'm not familiar with it. There may already be some things that don't, if you're listening to this and you know about this world, don't at me to say I don't know what I'm talking about. I fully agree I don't know what I'm talking about. But the idea being that every suitcase that comes through, you're not asking new questions to the data. You want to know if there's things in the suitcase that shouldn't be there, right? And that's tremendous. It's super applicable. But what we focus on at Striveworks is that more exploratory world where at the point of crisis, at the point of decision-making, the world today looks nothing like the world yesterday. And I've got a lot of questions for my data and all my models are falling over because they were trained on what yesterday looked like. That's the customer that we serve.
Okay. It's quite a complex problem you're trying to solve because nobody knows what the world of tomorrow is going to look like. So can you give us some insight into just how challenging it is for the team here at Striveworks and how you guys go about combating that when tomorrow doesn't look like today?
You're absolutely right. It's a hugely complex problem. And one of the things that we really like to focus here on and the way that we address that is we love to be engaged with our customers to the fullest extent possible. Here in the office, COVID has made the last 18 months obviously very difficult for us, as it has for everybody. But in an ideal world where we have you know, magic wand, and that wasn't something we would have been talking about for the last 18. We love having customers here working alongside us. We'll go to where they're working and work alongside them and really building the rapport and the intuition around how models that are being developed and deployed are being used in the real world, because that informs it to my trading days one more time. And when people think of a trading floor, they, even in 2021, there's a lot of people yelling, talking, chatting. It's a chaotic environment. And it's frankly, it's one that if as a software developer, you're, you know what, I would much prefer to put my noise canceling headphones on and remove myself from this because it's difficult to concentrate. That's a natural impulse. And one thing that we found very strongly was like being able to fight that inclination, being able to get those software developers right there in the mix of it would pay long-term dividends as they grew context around the problem set. So you're right to highlight the complexity of it. And the main way that we really like to drive that complexity to a valuable and useful conclusion is to really make sure that we're not a vendor to our customers, we're a partner with them. And that's really important to us.
That's super helpful. Staying on the customers for one final question, and then we'll move on to the team here that you've built. People who are listening to this might have a preconceived idea of what customer profile or size would come to Striveworks. But when you and I spoke previously, you gave me some insight into just how broad the customer spectrum is, from large organizations right the way down to smaller firms. Can you give us some insight into the variety of customers that you're working with across all the industries?
Yeah, absolutely. The main sorts of companies we like to work with and that like to work with us are folks who are, they're fairly large enterprises. And what does that mean? It means that usually they're awash in data. They've been collecting data for years and probably analyzing it for maybe the last 20 years, mostly by hand. In the last 5 years, they've probably hired a handful of PhD data scientists who are now staring at this mountain of data and asking, what do I do with it, when it seems like there's more being piled on every day than they're able to take off in a working application. So that's something that spans the public sector, the private sector, Fortune 500 companies. It's a very diverse base. One thing that we found kind of particular interest in here, being able to, if I can kind of talk about this for a second, is being able to operate in highly regulated environments, which is something we haven't chatted a little about much today, but it's fascinating to me. And as we look to what kind of a deployed AI in the world is, there's obviously ethical considerations, there's pragmatic considerations, and I think one that's underrepresented a lot of times is regulatory considerations, not just how do we ensure that we can audit and understand what these models are doing. And so a significant area of focus for us and significant area of work has been to understand the full lineage of not just data, not just models, but also the inferences that come off those models, and being able to understand the whole life cycle of a decision that's being made with artificial intelligence is something that our on staff data scientists and our kind of research arm spent a lot of time doing, and is something that we're very interested in and excited about.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com.
So tell us more about the team, because you gave some insight there. You've got your data science team, you've got the research team. Help our listeners visualize the current environment that Striveworks, the different dynamics, the combination of skill sets, and then the backgrounds of the people, because you work across so many types of business problems that you've got to bring in diverse viewpoints in order to accomplish that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's really fun to be here. I get such a charge out of being here every day, because the team here at Strive is just, it's a good group of people with a really interesting and diverse set of backgrounds and skills. And it's impossible for me to have a conversation with anybody on the team without learning something that I did. And that's just an emotional statement. You ask, hey, like under the hood, like what's the core team here? We have a core team of data scientists. For the most part, these are folks who've come from a, you know, superlative STEM background. Most of them have PhDs in a STEM field. And they've come to this as effectively for us, They are the ultimate end user. When we say at Striver, it's like we eat our own dog food. Like our data scientist, our data science team is our first and primary customer of our platform. And if they're not happy, we as an organization aren't happy. Within that platform development team, you've got a lot of folks who are really good on infrastructure. When we talk about Kubernetes in 2021, it's table stakes, but we get to do some really neat things because the way we deploy our platform requires us to be able to very robustly connect and disconnect from the cloud. So if we can't just say it's all in AWS, unfortunately, we have to have a very deep and principled understanding of what the network architecture looks like, where our customers are using it, and how it connects to the rest of the world, and be able to fail over when that connection is or isn't up is a really neat technical problem that our infrastructure team solved. I touched on the kind of data lineage component of what we do. We've got some pretty killer folks right now doing a lot of the front end and the UI UX for us, as well as some really neat data warehousing stuff in the back end too. So it's a great technical team.
Yeah, you've built, and I'm here, I have the pleasure of looking out to a big office busy with lots of people here. It's not easy to build a startup, particularly in the first few years, because you don't have the brand recognition and you're trying to build something. And people join based on the mission, the vision, and the leaders. You've been able to scale a very talented team. I'm sure it's been challenging, no doubt. But when you're speaking to these PhD level data scientists or really talented engineers who will always have many other opportunities they're considering, what do you tell them that has got these people to join here over some of the other opportunities they had?
Yeah, you're not wrong. I probably would have had a lot less gray hair if I hadn't Strive Works. But fundamentally, I think what we talk about, and there's other folks who do this too, and I don't mean to come off as making it sound like we're one of one, because they're not, but fundamentally, we offer folks a chance to really have impact. I'm the CEO, right? And what's my job here is, I think, an interesting way to start that question. And I tell folks here, like, my job is to resource you to be successful. I'm the hockey goalie and everybody's skating around. And if a puck gets past everybody else, then, you know, hopefully it'll hit me in the glove or the stick. But beyond that, I exist to empower this organization. And fundamentally, the folks who come here are the folks who maybe look at a larger, more established company and say, you know what, this is great, but I'd like to have a little bit more impact. I'd like to be able to look at what we built and say, I know the part of that that I constructed. I know the part of that wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for me. It's a sense of ownership, I think, is the biggest thing that attracts people to Strive, and I think that kind of drives our culture and our values to them.
Absolutely. Earlier on, you talked about helping organizations change their models for situations where tomorrow doesn't look like it did yesterday.
That's right.
Looking at what has happened over the last 18 months, many organizations found themselves in a situation where the expectations of what normal looks like got completely thrown out the window. And I'm sure you've had many conversations about the impact of COVID. Now that we're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel and what the world may look like post-COVID, what do you see the next year to 2 years looking like for Striveworks? And in addition to that, what are you most excited about?
Wow, that's a great question. Credit to the team here, right? We almost doubled in size during the pandemic. And that required the folks here to really lean in, make a commitment to themselves, to their teammates, to everybody else, over-communicate, over-trust, we've been very fortunate, and it's a credit to the folks here that we've been able to come out the other side of that, frankly, moving faster, bigger, stronger than we were going into it. We've got a lot of growth right now ahead of us. We're probably going to double in size over the next year, and then over the year after that, it might happen again. So that's going to be a lot of new folks, a lot of new faces, hopefully a lot of like really cool and killer new skill sets to bring into the team. That's gonna be the thing that kind of drives us. And the challenge that we're going to have is going to be how do we bring that crew together? How do we come up with a shared value set and a shared sense of mission and drive out and accomplish? We're really excited with where we're at with a bunch of our customers. And the next year, we already see that kind of customer base growing by about an order of magnitude. so it's an exciting time. If we talk again in a few months, you'll probably see a few more gray hairs on my head, but that's okay.
No, exciting indeed. Look, final question for me then, staying on the topic of growth and doubling in size. You've brought together a stellar team of people with various backgrounds, many of whom coming in STEM, but when you think of the growth ahead, what are the two or three things that you look for when considering a candidate?
We have a little phrase that our marketing director borrowed from our Craig, our CTO, which is like, at the end of the day, we've talked about this internally a whole bunch of times. It's a great question. Craig's so funny because at the end of the day, we're looking for pure-hearted geniuses. He just throws his hands up and he says, we're looking for pure-hearted geniuses. And when we go out to talk to folks and our recruiters, and they take that and like, Craig, okay, that's great and all, but nobody puts it on their resume. I'm laughing here, but the serious point of that is that first and foremost, we want people here who are excited to be here and excited to be part of the team and part of the mission. And our technical bar, I think, is frankly as high as they come. We ask everyone when there's a new person joining a team, we ask them in a very virtuous way the question, do you want this person on your team? Do you think that they're going to raise your skill set, make you better, teach you things, help you learn? And in doing that, we just want to move the ratchet crank, so to speak, of the talent level up. I came from a data scientist background, and I don't think Striveworks would hire me today. And that's probably what you asked about skills too. So hopefully when I say that, like truly that's the first thing we want, is we want people who are pure of heart and are brilliant and will continue to learn and educate themselves. I think we've all seen it in the industry. We've all seen those job requirements that are thoughtless. They don't even keep pace with technology. Like I want someone with 20 years of experience in Docker. Docker didn't exist 20 years ago, so I don't even know what to tell you. That's funny, and we can have a little bit of a wry smile about it today. But the point is that who knows what the skill sets the future is going to bring really are. And most important for us, we're not going to ever say, hey, if you don't have X years of experience with Y technology, there's not a home for you at Striveworks. Like really, what we're looking for is people who've been passionate about learning, passionate about doing. And when that next new technology, whatever it is, comes down the pipe, they're excited to say, hey, you know what? Like, I've been a Java developer my entire life, but Golang seems to be the new hotness. I appreciate why it's relevant to what we're doing here. So I'm excited to dig in, learn something new, be a humble learner from maybe somebody on the other team who's a little bit more experienced. And then one day, like, I'll teach them something. So that's the culture that we approach that with.
Jim, thank you so much for today. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, talking to us about the origin story of Striveworks, the changing landscape of this industry and technology, the impact that you're able to have, and then what it's like to be part of the team. You've obviously built an amazing organization. Yeah, we wish you and everyone at Striveworks the best of luck.
Oh, my pleasure, JP. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Oldest Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.oldest.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.